Should IQ tests determine eligibility for Connecticut state benefits? Apparently, this was part of a proposed bill that is now headed to the Senate for a vote. The measure passed unanimously out of the Human Services Committee earlier this month, but now faces opposition from a key state agency, which would widen criteria some advocates consider overly stringent, I should say, allowing broader access to housing support, caseworkers, and other benefits. So I wanted to talk to somebody who is on the Human Services Committee. The ranking member is Senator Jason Perillo from right here in our listening area in the Shelton area. He joins us back on the show. Senator Perillo, thank you so much. And talk to us a little bit more about this bill. I want to understand it a little bit better.
Well, sure. So what we want to make sure that we're doing is making benefits available to individuals with disabilities on an appropriate and fair and broad-ranging scale. We don't want to make folks ineligible who should otherwise be eligible. And that was the intent of the legislation. As you can see, it passed unanimously, both parties. We just want to make sure that folks who need access to benefits get access to benefits. That's the key.
So under the current policy, applicants have to show an IQ below 70, as well as deficits in adaptive behavior that came up in childhood. So what is the real, I guess, difference between what's on the books right now versus this proposal?
Yeah, so some of the limitations that are currently in place for eligibility will go away. And I'm trying to think the best way to phrase it. Those barriers go away. And individuals who hit certain IQ thresholds will become eligible. And that's really the focus. And again, this is very specifically for communities and individuals in Connecticut who have a developmental disability. And that really is the key, because folks right now are getting shut out who otherwise should have access to benefits. Now, of course, the flip side to this is that access to benefits is actually hampered by the fact that there's a wait list, because there are folks who need services and we can't deliver those services because we don't have the resources. Mm. So while we're expanding access, at the same time, it doesn't really do what it could do, because we're essentially just expanding the number of people who can sit on a wait list.
Yeah,
and
which is not effective.
The services we have available have got to catch up with the number of people who need those services. And that hasn't happened yet.
So I'm glad that you said that, Senator Perillo, because I think that's the part of this that I'm not as, I would feel as, because I know some people read this and thought that this was discriminatory, and I don't know how we're doing this, because I believe we're sort of talking about, kind of the difference between relying on an IQ test versus like a clinical assessment. Right. I mean, so I understand, obviously, the difference between the two. But my bigger thing was, no matter who is getting the services or getting the benefits, I kind of wanted to know that. I first of all, thank you for telling me there's a wait list, because I kind of assumed there would be. But I always like to know fact. I don't like to go off of an educational guess, which is, whether you make more people, qualified to get these benefits, are they actually getting what they even deserve? Like, where are we sort of at in the pipeline here in Connecticut with having those resources available, those people available, caseworkers, for example, so on and so forth? But we have a wait list. Like, how big?
Oh, gosh. it's the wait list that never goes away. Permanent state of waiting. There's always folks on it. And in fairness, I don't know how long it is. I should. And I'm embarrassed that I don't.
No, you're fine. You're proving my point. You're good. You're proving my point.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's proving. And so how do you address that? I agree with you. I think the bigger thing is not so much if people are getting it or not. It doesn't really matter if you qualify or you don't, if you're on a wait list. Like all
exactly.
It is it's a concept of getting benefits. You know what I mean? And why is it that we have such a long wait list? Can you kind of talk a little bit about why? I mean, obviously the needs are very great. We understand that. But where we're sort of falling short, like, is it the fact that we don't, for example, support enough caseworkers to have them, or I don't know, obviously housing support, that's a very broad thing, you know what I mean?
Well, and you actually mentioned something interesting that I want to touch on. And you said that, we're creating, we're giving more people access, but we're not creating access. And that was actually a discussion that we had as, you know, leaders of the committee. We screen bills. We talk about whether they should, you know, be voted on or not. And that was one of the things we talked about. And I think one of the senators used these phrases, we don't want to give people false hope. Because
yeah.
we're giving people more access.
That's mean.
But at the same time, we can't serve them. So we need to make sure that, and, you know, caseworkers is one. Access to housing is another. You know, those are the kind of things that we need to be able to deliver. And right now, we're not.
Right. Well, and I again, Senator Perillo, if I'm understanding it so, because feel free to correct me. You know, I love corrections. If
Oh, and I'm happy to.
You're like, oh, trust me, I'll call you out. No worries. So the way that we do the current legislation, is that based on IQs right now, or is that clinical assessment? Because my next question is going to be, is the change flopping that? That makes sense?
No. So no. The change is going to expand the pool.
Okay.
So that's. It eliminates existing barriers and will allow more people access to services. So we're not restricting it. We're eliminating some of the barriers.
Got it.
And making it easier for folks to get on the system.
Okay. So then you're just, all we're doing again is just significantly expanding what the current wait lists already are.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah, unfortunately.
Right.
I mean, fortunately, but unfortunately, right? We're giving more people access to services and they need them. But we don't have the volume of services to give them, and so that becomes the sort of the disappointing challenge right now. But you try to look at things in a positive light. You know, it's an opportunity for growth, if anything else, right? So we can deliver more services.
Well, because I'm thinking, so again, we've got Senator Jason Perillo here, who's the ranking member for, you know, the committee that, again, unanimously passed having people get more access to the services that they deserve. That's a great thing. The problem is that you're now making a wait list that's already huge, much bigger, because, I mean, you got to kind of get to the crux of the issue, which is what we're talking about, that you're going to rely more on services that we just don't have, basically, the bodies there. We don't have, you know, enough people to be able to give the services needed. So, for example, I was reading, I guess, the State Department of Developmental Services, for example. They're worried because they don't have the people to, and the you know, for the demand, they can't be able to respond appropriately or to give to as many people. And so you're just leaving people kind of like with false hope. So is there a piece of legislation that, I don't know, is the issue incentivizing? Is the issue that the conditions are not great in those jobs? Is it that, like, what is sort of the issue as to, you know, why can't we, I guess, expand or have more people working for DDS, for example?
Honestly, a lot of it comes down to budgeting and budget priorities. That really is
that's,
I would
shocking.
Say, the singular crux of the challenge. That's my observation. There's just not enough funding set aside for folks in the who are developmentally disabled who need benefits. Which, when you think about it, is shocking because our state budget is, generally speaking, completely out of control. But that is actually one of those areas where I can say to myself, as generally a fiscal conservative Republican, I can say, you know what, we can invest a little bit more there because these are folks who really need help.
Right. Well, because I think it's, again, it's logical where I understand fiscal responsibility, but to me, it sort of ties into some of the other issues we've had. I mean, to me, having services for people who, you know, have, for example, an intellectual disability, let's just say, I mean, that to me falls under the same kind of demand as ECS funding. I know I keep bringing up that, but, you know, to me, like, that's another where, like, hey, if we got to break the bank on having education where it needs to be, then I don't know. I mean, I know they're two different things, but we can't kind of say our claim to fame is like, oh yeah, we're giving benefits to people more than ever before. Yeah, but we're not actually. It just looks good on a headline that we are.
Right. I mean, you can ask the most far-right fiscal conservative on budget issues, who, you know, somebody who really doesn't like, public benefits, they're all still going to say, you know, folks who have a developmental disability need our help. Like, everybody's going to say that, right? Everybody believes that, I think. And that's an area where I think in the state of Connecticut, we actually have fallen short. This is a group of people who need more help than we're giving them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've got State Senator Jason Perillo with us out of Shelton, and we're talking about some major pieces of legislation being discussed up at the Capitol. So affordability continues to be the theme of the 2026 legislative session. But how do we bring affordability? That begins a lot of different conversations, and certainly depending on the side of the aisle you're on, it looks a little bit different. So I saw there was a bill regarding state sales tax breaks. It did get bipartisan support, now headed to the Senate for a vote. This legislation seems to include sales tax on clothing, shoes, you know, under $100 permanently exempt, which we've seen kind of those holidays or like a week near the beginning of every school year for the last couple of years. It looks at tax-free for school supplies, not electronic devices, certain energy endorsements being exempt. So it's a lot of hodgepodge of different sales tax exemptions for the state. First of all, Senator Perillo, what are your thoughts on this bill? But also, is this a one-time sales tax break, or would this be, you know, going forward until somebody reverses it, essentially?
No, so it would be go forward. But the sales tax breaks in that bill, so as you said, it's kind of a hodgepodge, right? There's
it's
a
all
lot
over
of
the
different
place. Yeah.
There's tax savings in a lot of different areas. The sales tax breaks are nice, but there's actually other things in that bill that I think are extremely important. The first of which is the complete elimination of the income tax on Social Security. Right now, based upon how much money you make, there are some exemptions from the income tax for Social Security beneficiaries, but this would include it to encapsulate all Social Security beneficiaries. And that's something I've been pushing for, and quite honestly, you know, Republicans in the House and Senate have been pushing for a very long time. But now we finally hit our goal, right? Assuming this can get through the Senate and the House of Representatives and get signed by the governor, we finally hit our goal of eliminating the income tax on all Social Security. So that's one. And the other thing is actually something that I've been working on, and actually my predecessor in the Senate, Kevin Kelly, who's now a judge, he had been focused on it as well. It's allowing tax credits for caregivers for seniors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, as our parents age, you know, they many of them start to need more services. So, you know, the cost of bringing in a caregiver, in some cases, even the cost of, you know, structural changes to your home to help a parent, you know, get up out of their chair, to shower safely. Those would now be tax credits, all of which are great things, and they're really beneficial to our seniors. That said, you know, I don't think the tax package we've seen come out of the Finance Committee really goes far enough. It really doesn't do anything to address property taxes, which is really what I feel people are feeling right now. I mean, I look at, you know, Stratford, Shelton, Monroe, you know, even Seymour, you know, towns that I represent, you know, revaluations have been very, very difficult, and people are seeing, you know, 20% increases in their property taxes. And you want to talk about affordability. You know, my dad's 83. The two biggest checks he writes in a year are in January and July, and they're mm-hmm. to pay for his property taxes.
Right.
So, you know, that's a big chunk. So if we could create abatements funded by the state of Connecticut that would lower property tax strain on seniors, that would be ideal. If we could freeze valuations for seniors who've lived in their home for at least 5 years, you know, that would be beneficial to them. So while, yes, I love the bill we passed out of the Finance Committee yesterday that has those tax benefits that we talked about, I love that. But I don't think we're done. I don't think we've really tackled the property tax angle on this. And many are in the same boat as me who feel the same way. Yeah, I'm going to keep pushing for that, because unless we really see true property tax relief, I think we're going to have a continual problem with affordability here in Connecticut, especially for seniors.
I agree. Well, and to your point, Senator Perillo, you know, so yes, the Social Security benefits is a huge deal. I did see that the bill would also give homeowners a $400 tax credit up from the current $300. So and even the idea of major home appliances, like the endorsements with, I guess, Energy Star. Again, I think that kind of goes to the general public. But to your point, I mean, I think it always looks so good. And look, I am a parent with a school school-aged kid. So, yeah, sure, the clothing, the shoes, the school supplies, like, that sounds great. But again, I think it just, it looks good on a headline. I'm not saying I'm not grateful for it, because I know that always, I'm always kind of criticized for, you're not grateful for anything. I am. But I'm also getting real, and I'm sorry, but, you know, I kind of am of a very, I'm going to call it a fiscal responsible household, where, you know, we are a hand-me-down household. We are a, you got one pair of shoes, kid, you got holes in them, too bad, figure it out. I mean, this to me is like, sure, this can help a little bit, but I'd rather see kind of the, you know, I would say like the deeper cuts, if you will. So if that means, you know, we dump a bunch of money to actually change ECS funding, which hasn't been touched in over a decade, or to your point, if you freeze the revals for seniors. I mean, I think there has to be kind of more of that, oh, that hurts a little bit, but we have to do this because we're already bleeding out right now. I mean, anything under $100, you know, that you lose the sales tax, like, great. That's, to me, I hate to say it, but it's putting a Band-Aid on something that needs to be surgically taken care of.
Yeah, and you're 100% right. You know, like I said, I love the bill. It's progress. I'll take it.
Love the bill.
If we can lower people's sales,
right.
But it's not real structural change, and it's not. You know, look, it's the tale of two futures for Connecticut, right? Like, what we passed yesterday is great, but it's kind of baby steps. It doesn't really get us where we need to be. We need real structural change when it comes to property taxes, and we actually need real income tax cuts across the board for, you know, families like yours and mine with kids, where we got a lot going on. That hasn't happened yet. I know that Senate Republicans are, you know, rolling out a tax proposal tomorrow, actually, at a press conference that I'll obviously be attending and speaking at. But that is a much more broad approach to how we can, in the long term, create affordability here in Connecticut for folks. Like I said, I love the sales tax stuff. I love the, you know, extra $100 tax credit. That's great. We'll take it. But it doesn't get us where we need to be.
Yeah.
It does not get us where we need to be.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like I said, never want to be seen as ungrateful, but I also just want to get real. And to me, these are, and that's the thing, is I fall under the category where, sure, I guess I would benefit from some of these things, but what are we talking about here? You know, like, what are we actually talking about here? Because even the families who say, like, yeah, we've got kids, and sure, and every penny counts. It does. But that's not what's going to pay for my electric bills. That is not going to pay for my revals that went up substantially, like everybody else is saying. We have to actually do real deep dive investment. We do. And honestly, if we don't, we're only going to get worse and worse. And I know I sound like a broken record bringing up ECS funding. That has not been touched since 2013. And the fact is part of the reason why our property taxes keep going up and our education budgets keep getting cut is because we haven't touched that in well over a decade, on top of the inflation and everything else that's going on. So if we just keep letting that get out of control, we're really not going to get out of our own way, is sort of my point. But of course, I'm ungrateful, obviously. Senator Perillo, thank you so much. Always appreciate your time. And we will certainly see what comes out of Hartford. As you mentioned, there's going to be a press conference on more of these proposals and doing more than even just this bill, going beyond that. So we will keep an eye out for that. And I thank you so much for your time.